Stick around for an important message at the end of the episode. Radio Outcast is a terrifying, gunslinging podcast for mature audiences. Content warning. This episode contains depictions of horror, gunshots, hospitalization, animals in distress, monstrous creatures, and interrogations throughout the episode, which may be upsetting for some listeners. We encourage our listeners to prioritize their safety before venturing ahead. Thank you.
Waited for a good few minutes. No bear. Nothing. Wouldn't have had the fire for it anyways. Can't run from him. Can't shoot him down with any old pistol. But that made one gunshot. One bear. Hearing things on that dead street. All around. Ain't right. Ain't none of this. Shit. Things been off since old Barefoot and that dandy first showed up. But ever since that Starlight Leisure, I knew it'd been too easy. Tires showing up like free gammon. Now that elk wasn't coming. It was calling. You learn to sort them out. The mating call, cry of fear, and a death call. Walked all of K Street, trailing that elk's cry. Took until I was right there, right up on the steps of Lincoln's General Store. Not until then did I realize where I was and remembered. That store has long been torn down. So what was I doing standing there reading that same old sign? Drugs. Medicine. Paints. Oils. Station. Could see it from the front steps, somehow. Feel like that word been following me, somehow. Somehow, that elk got inside the general store, tore the door wide open, but it wasn't standing. Oh, they got you, huh? Don't mean no harm. No harm. Middle of the general store, down on his side. He had wet blood all across his wide spots. Couldn't tell what got him, but it'd have got him good. Something about seeing a big beast like that. Tossing his horns to and fro, wondering, why me? Staring back at me with those big, honey-colored eyes. It's just hard to take. Must have got you in the gut. Only gonna get worse. You did what you came to do. Go on. Go on. Pa taught me to dispatch. Knife under the throat. Didn't even twitch his legs. Honey eyes looking out the open door behind me. Till they turned dark, and his breath went. Turned around, and there, at the door, some massive black bear. Blood at his lips, but I knew better. I knew much better. This building was destroyed. Long ago. One but a dream.
Come on, Spectra! Cut the shit! I know this is all a... Oh. My God. All right. So a handful of weird-looking salt people... With big, empty eye holes oozing out salt? Sure, yeah, I can handle that. I mean, they're not ideal, but I can blast them to smithereens. Now, a fucking Goliath made of salt? Look, if I wasn't human, I wouldn't have ran. I mean, I knew better. I knew it was one of Spectra's illusions. It could do no actual harm, right? Didn't matter. Like I said, humans have adrenaline. That fight-or-flight button. And for a moment, I was all fight. But when I turned around, and the sun was blocked by a giant made of fucking salt, Mom, your daughter ran like she was Carl Lewis. Look. Oh, gods, don't look. That salt desert never seemed to end. Just on and on and on. The spongy earth against my feet. I hated my body. I hated how it ached, screaming at me to give up. But I had to outrun the Goliath's shadow. Gods, I can't move my...
Tisk, Tisk, sister. You're usually good at running from things. Like your duties. And your unions. Re-helix. Just let it all go.
Spectra, why? I couldn't understand it. Mom, I hope you forgive me someday for what I had to do.
Seeing the danger so clear, with a dream even clearer, grabbed a gun from his holster, spun it in my hand, pointed high, and pulled the trigger.
Jesus!
Lucky. In the dream, there wasn't no safety on the gun when I pressed the barrel to my chin, but in the waking world, was a bit different, to my relief. Wasn't trying to die and come back again unless I needed to. How'd I... There I was, in the back alley between two buildings, K Street, downtown Lincoln. leaned up against the wall like a drunk after a long night. I'd gone out of that hell dream, or whatever that was, that fake Lincoln, Nebraska, with that bear and the note in my gun. One hell of a dream. Except it wasn't a dream.
Carter! Hey, girl! You follow me all this way?
Any clue where the other two wandered to? Things got usual again. Folks on the road, birds chittering up in the trees, no elk storming up and around. All usual except for the two missing folks at my left and my right. Guess I ought to admit, thought maybe Helix and Charles just went on with that.
Have you seen the price on silk lately?
I know.
Excuse me, ma'am. You seen a woman with no shoes on around here?
Ew, what?
Hey, you. Seen a man with a powder blue shirt? Look sort of smug?
Nope.
Folks, I got a couple missing. Goes by Helix and Charles Osgood.
Passerby looked at me like I crawled out of a ditch.
Well, suppose I just did. Nobody's heard of no Helix or Charles Osgood. But after a few minutes of shouting up and down K Street, a kind stranger gave me a couple tips. If someone goes missing up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they weren't intending to go missing, then they're probably going to be in one of three places. The prison, the asylum, or dead. Shit. Okay. Which one sound best? Right. Asylum first. Down this road, down that road, on and on till that big gray building came into view. The asylum. Took the last stretch by foot. I'm looking for a dandy sporting a powder blue suit, maybe a big old fur coat. You seen him? How about you? You seen him? What about a woman with no shoes on? Probably talks a little.
Excuse me, sir. I need you to not kick doors or shout in the reception.
No one's shouting. I just need help. I'm looking for...
And I'm happy to assist you. But there's a proper way to do things without disturbing our patients or their families.
Proper way. All right. Fine.
Now, what is the name for whom you're visiting?
Helix. No family name. Or, Charles. Charles Osgood.
Oh, you are responsible for Mr. Osgood. Very well. We found the gentleman on the front steps talking to himself in his sleep. He wasn't on our dossier sent from the penitentiary, so we placed Mr. Osgood in a holding room. Yes, please follow.
I made my way down into the dark, torch in hand. With each footstep came another cough, and with each cough the flickering torch winked with brightness, as if the curse inside me were feeding the fire. There comes this point, the moment in a dream when one recognizes the dream. The elements of this vision were far too mercurial and condemning. So how, I wondered, could I feel the flame's heat? Why was the pain, the burn in my chest, ever so present?
Do you wish to be relieved of the rot?
You intuit me well, sir. And you've such a way with words. I walked for some days, some many weeks, alone with the flame and my feet and the cough rising through me. The machines purr, looming in the dark. Charles Osgood, man of many words, drawn into silence. The humid breath I'd felt before seemed so distant. An era of peace, so long was I silent. Why should you care about what's whispered here? Come, follow me and let these people talk. Then his voice returned.
You must finish this long journey before you can come to rest, body and soul.
Rest. But I've a fate to outrun, no?
You must finish this journey before you can come to rest, body and soul.
Indeed, I heard you before. Sir, am I not resting now? I felt its return. The heat upon my neck, the breathing beast. But I felt no fear, no, I felt... It's always seemed so inevitable.
Your name is Charles Osgood. Is that correct?
No. No, it is not.
Then you will speak the name. Go on. Speak the name.
Conrad. I am Conrad Mansfield. I felt the heat fall away from my neck, and with it, the machines purr. For a moment, it was the flickering glow and my own heart and nothing more. Then a sound, the ring of a machine, somewhere down the corridor or perhaps within my mind. As the ring faded, as the torch faded, as the pain in my chest faded, as my own vision seemed to fade, a hand touched my shoulder, and at last I turned to see.
You told us, Mom, to never become blinded by rage. We were the first sisters, the five senses. And sisters fight. You warned us as if you knew. You know what rage can see through when pushed, when built silently for years and years. 100 million years ago, that salt marsh was nothing but sea. Dinosaurs swam there. It took millions and millions of years for the water to recede, for each grain of salt to form. Through all those years, Spectra has hated me. Rage at my competency. Rage because she wanted all of your love. We really created humans in our own image, didn't we, Mom? It's not real. It's not real. It's an illusion. It's a dream.
Go on, sister. Call for Mother. She can't save your friends.
My friends. Spectra. What did you fucking... Why? Jesse. Charles. They wouldn't know better. What if they didn't escape? Oh, gods. How long has she been following us? How long has she been spinning her webs? That's what I get. For watching her all those years pulling painful images from people's minds, spinning them into the subconscious, giving them nightmares. All she wanted was to torture them, see when they would wake up, if they would. I was too afraid of her. Fine! Spectra, I lose, okay? Just please let go of my friends. They don't deserve any of this. Do you hear me? I said I lose, Spectra. I was nothing. Nothing in the shadow of that salt Goliath. It blocked out the sun. It looked down at me. Its expressionless head the size of a blimp, arms and legs as long as towers. If it wanted to, it could smash me to pieces. Little dream pieces, but my human heart couldn't tell the difference. Death was death, and I wanted to survive, but more than that, I wanted my friends, Jesse and Charles, to survive. This was all my fault.
Turn and face me, Helix.
Always that fire-red hair. And her godly familiar. That eternal cigarette perched from her mouth. It's been the same cigarette since humans invented them. It just never seems to burn out. You have me. Now what do you want? What could you possibly—
Oh, spare me. The appraisal, darling. You never had a way with words. I mean, isn't that why humans turn to writing? Oh, Helix.
Is it Emmy? Did she send you?
Gods, no. You think I heed the barking of that dog? No, my dear. See, I've been watching you. Yes, I've been closer than you think. Maybe I was helping Emmy for a time. But she's too cowardly to make the tough choice.
The tough choice? All these years, Spectra. Millions of years, and you still—
On your knees, darling.
What?
If you're going to beg like a human, then at least look like one.
Spectra never thought I deserved my station. Goddess of sound. But now, I was human. Now Spectra had her chance. Wasn't the trial enough for you? You proved your point already. I'm bad at being a goddess. No? So what? What, you're gonna become the messenger goddess of sight and sound? Is that it?
Was this all stop there, doll? Ridding myself of you is only step one.
What?
Now close your eyes, Helix. Just pretend it's all one long, never-ending.
To protect myself. To protect Jesse, who always watches out for me even when it's hard. To protect Charles, who always keeps me on my path. And to protect you, Mother, and all of my other sisters who, despite everything, I love. I did what I had to do.
Oh, that's rich.
You think you could harm me in my own creation?
No. No, not harm. And by that, you mean?
Goddess. Why am I suddenly...
If I am going down, Spectra, then we are going down together. Two expressions moved across her face. First, it was rage. The same rage I'd seen in Spectra since our conception. The way her eyebrows folded inward, her jaw tightening, how the cigarette stiffened between her lips. But then, it was the knowing. The almost curl of a smile, the smoke calmly exhaling from her nose. At last, it was like she'd had her revenge. But just as well, she'd been freed of it. This was the irreversible day. For both of us. Sight and sound.
Your little lullaby. If I go comatic, darling, then you'll truly never break from this spell. Besides, I'm only a figment. Did you really?
No, Spectra. I'm the one with the material form to return to. But you? You're nothing but an entity. You need that familiar to have a corporeal form. It and you are inside my mind, Spectra. You're never getting rid of me now. I'm putting you to sleep here. Forever. If I'm going down, you're coming with.
I confess, it took some time for the fog to lift from my mind, the vestiges of dream. I only knew that suddenly I woke to...
Sir, I need you to identify yourself. You cannot simply
identify my ass. The man comes with me. Come on, up, up.
Have I the strength? Have I? Oh, confound it. The Minotaur.
This gentleman clearly needs evaluation.
No, I demand you put him. Talks. Come on, Osgood, right around here.
A hand on my shoulder. Not moments before I turned into the corridor to face I know not what. As soon as I met eyes with the long dark, a blast of light came upon me, and I was soon transported to another white room, and there stood Rogers, and a nurse, with his hands clenched so tightly his knuckles glowed. The cowboy has presence, I'll give him that. Jesse, though certainly not a friend, do not worry, mistress, he certainly was a comfort. Rough and hurried, but a comfort nonetheless. Soon I was out and amidst Lincoln's avenues. Perhaps for the second time, truly I've no memory of entering the city. In time, I found my own strength. Jesse removed his arm from around my shoulder and guided me down towards the main thoroughfare. He sought direction to the penitentiary. For what intent?
Gossip said asylum. So there I went, and there you were. Gossip also said penitentiary. Might need to get crafty. Get her out.
And by her, you mean the barefoot one might be... interned?
Dunno. Just gossip.
Well. The spine of society, they say.
What?
Gossip. They say it's the backbone of society. Before I could summarize in lush detail the history of gossip, a disturbed crowd drew our attention. They seemed transfixed on an entryway, but something moving through the entryway. A gentleman in court wear, with his high upstanding collar, carried within his arms a lifeless woman. Well, I say carried. Truly, the lawyer was dragging her from the building, then dropped her onto the dirt as though she were a burlap sack. Alas, she fell like one.
Damn it, who the hell does...
Do not engage with a judge right now. The ruckus was a distance away. You could not tell from down the street, but as the crowd scattered from the body, her bare feet gave us the indication. Still in the fog, my mind. Or perhaps I could not bear the idea. As Jesse sprung forward, my eyes lifted onto the building. Following up the Capitol's spire, I squinted into its cupola and spotted a familiar black frame.
Move! Out of my way. Moment I heard those folks gasp, I had a feeling in my gut. One I didn't want to be true. Osgood was still sorting out his mind, so I left him. Took off into the crowd, pushing folks aside, till I was standing right next to her. Looking down at Helix, dropped like she wasn't but a rug. Her arms and legs rolled out, facing the dirt. I went to my knees. Hey, Helix! Helix! Breathing. Barely. No way a person keeps asleep after getting dropped like that. Folks! Folks, y'all got a doctor? Anybody know what the hell? Felt myself getting hot. Was easier in the dream helping that elk move on. Seen all sorts of living things die. Shit, sometimes I was responsible for it. But stuck in between breathing, but not alive. Helix should have long been awake. Getting tossed out like that didn't make no sense. Noticed Coda curled up, just barely under her dress's neckline with his beak to his chest. Feathers more gray than their typical vibrant blue. Eyes half open.
Now, I wouldn't consider myself a doctor, but a solution?
Not
I might.
Now. Oh, that's good.
Oh, not? And you are not the goddess's warden, Jesse Rogers. I know you place very little faith in me, but in this moment...
No. Your mind's still not alert. Woke myself up. Then you. On my own. I can figure this out, too. There's... Maybe with Helix, I don't... Fuck!
Jesse, please, allow me this opportunity to help.
All right.
Now, it seems word through Nebraska was true, and that our monument, so to say, lies herein. Now, I glimpsed it from across the courtyard.
So you think Helix got the tower already? That don't
no,
help.
No. I merely recall long ago, on the day I first met her, met both of you, that the tower seemed a rejuvenative thing.
That was different, wasn't it?
You were dead before you were an immortal. This may be our best hope.
Danny Man had a point. Maybe the tower inside the Capitol building. Maybe. Get her right arm. I got lift.
Hey.
Move! Get out of our way! Just as I figured. Inside the Capitol building, wearing nothing but a bunch of men with pinched faces. Papers shuffling all across the floor, secretaries running about. But everything came to a stop soon as me, Osgood, and old Barefoot walked inside.
Yes, hello? Excuse us.
We only need counsel with that monument for just a moment.
Nobody move, or I'll drop you like y'all drop my friend here.
Jesse.
Seemed to do the trick. Government folks ain't nothing but mice hiding behind paperwork. They just watched us, all wide-eyed and open-mouthed. As me and Osgood carried Helix across the Capitol floor toward the center of the building, where the Black Tower rose high into the dome cupola.
How do you suppose she found her way... Oh, for the love of God, she's so heavy. Here.
It's the same way that we found our ways where we were. Took just about all we had to bring her over to the tower. Folks all shaking as we passed their fancy little desks, upsetting their perfect little worlds. Shit, if only those sons of bitches knew. Once we got to the monument, Osgood took her hand and lifted it up so that I could press a knife's edge to the heel of her palm. He pressed it up against the tower, and then...
Fuck! Extrajudicial execution? Ha! Well, now she really lost it. Spectre really think... Oh my gods! Coda! Coda, you're here! Oh gods, I missed you.
Well, from the looks on folks' faces, Helix standing right up and going into her tirade. It seemed things were back to normal.
Oh, you guys! Oh, you wouldn't believe. I mean, Spectra always thought she was like the first sense or whatever, but like... Oh, shit. You two. You're here. I thought she said...
The name, Spectra, you say?
Are you all right?
Yeah, Spectra, my fucking murderous older sister. I'm... Oh, fuck, honestly, I feel like I'm on top of the fucking world. Did... Oh, we're at the tower. How much did I miss?
Saying we were putting the fear of Satan in these folks' souls. Them listen to us go on. Eyes popping out of their skulls. We went on ahead and cleared out. The three of us, of mind and of body.
The power of healing, this time. Huh. Sort of came at the perfect time, yeah? Healed my mind and apparently my body, too. I mean, unless I peacefully rolled in mud and ripped my dress in my sleep.
No. In fact, you were thrown. But not to worry. Jesse dashed over to you before any more judges could appear to finish the job.
Oh. That bad?
Yeah. It was. You should thank Charles, though. He's the one who thought of the tower.
Oh, did I?
Otherwise, you and Coda.
It's okay. Spectra won't be coming back to do that to us anymore. Ever again. I made sure of it. Thank you, guys.
Helix looped her arms with each of ours and smiled proudly. Charles and I glanced at her, then at each other. Don't know if those two felt it too then.
Oh, before I forget, let me heal you guys too.
Well, when she used the power on me, I didn't feel a damn thing. No less invincible.
Hi, Outcasts. Fernanda here. We hope you've been enjoying the show. We've been loving the responses we've been seeing from you all online. Thank you, first of all, for the kind comments, the reviews, the fan art. It's absolutely insane every single time we see it. But onto the big news. This episode officially marks the mid-season break for Radio Outcasts Season 2. As with Season 1, we will be taking a short break. We will return with the final 5 episodes of the season this July. Until then, be sure to join us on Discord, Patreon, or on any of our socials, which are all in our show notes, for more updates, and check out our shop in the show notes as well for merch if you're interested. Radio Outcast was created by María Fernanda Vidal-Razaga and JT Lachese, starring Ivory Amor de Francisca as Jesse Rogers, Jade Duong as Helix, Daniel A. Stevens as Charles Osgood, Griffin Otto Deniger as The Nurse, and María Fernanda Vidal-Razaga as Spectra. This episode was written by JT and directed by Fernanda, with support from our assistant director, Sebastian Sotelo. Produced by Eloise Bernier and Kevin Shea. Dialogue editing by Miles Krenwelgi, sound design by Rye Dorsey, with music by Samuel Kinsella. If you like what you hear, let us know by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Good Pods. It helps us reach more listeners, and it gives us the chance to see what you all think of the show. If you aren't sure what to say, but you would still like to show your support, you can rate the show on any of those avenues as well as on Spotify. If you want more Radio Outcast, you can find us online at radiooutcast.com, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr, or join the Radio Outcast Discord server. All links are in the show notes below. We have stickers and the full Season 1 score album available for purchase at our shop as well. If you'd like to help us continue to grow, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/radio_outcast. Our patrons have access to behind-the-scenes material, original scripts, and bonus content, including a letter from Seth Bullock about the strange duel that took place in the first episode of Season 2. But if that's too big of a commitment for you, if you become a patron at the Dakota tier for as little as $1 a month, you too could get a special shout-out at the end of our episodes like
Alan L. and the Silence in Vast Corridors, Talia W. and the Moving Shadows in Your Periphery, Patricia D. and the Unseen Creatures That Swim Near You in Dark Waters, Lisbeth S. and the Saddled Horse in the Distance Without a Rider, Val V. and the Face Behind You Reflected on Your Screen, Susan D. and the Hard to Hear Whispers Through Rustling Leaves, Fearless Lila and the Songs Played on a Broken Violin, Chelsea S. and the Flickering Lights on That Beaten Path, Bunny Hop and the Loud Groans in Abandoned Places, and Paul R. and the Creaking Rides at a Carnival.
To all of our patrons, thank you again. We appreciate you. And to everyone listening, safe travels.